We are studying Parashat Vayigash. I came today to reveal one of the great secrets of the Torah. The Zohar HaKadosh writes, Istaked be'oraita u'bara alma. Borei Olam looked into the Torah and he created the world. That means the Torah is the blueprint of the creation. The Torah is not just a storybook. It's not a book of episodes of the Tzaddikim. Everything that you see in the world has its roots in Torah. So when you learn Torah, you not only have to read the Pesukim, you have to read what's beneath the Pesukim. Or as they say in English, what's in between the lines. If a person builds a home, everything that you see in the home has to be in the blueprints. Because the builder was following the blueprint. So the Zohar says, Istakel be'oraita, God looked at the Torah, u'bara alma. And he created the world according to that formula. That's the first thing you need to know. The second introduction is scientific. In science, there's a law called the law of resonance. Maybe you heard the word to resonate. What does it mean to resonate or resonance? I'll make it simple. I'm not going to give you a full class in physics today. But you have to know this. There are certain sounds in music, and every sound has its frequency. For example, and maybe you ever saw a tuning fork. The tuning fork is made to a certain frequency, to a certain note, let's say, C. So when I bang it, it sends off that sound of the note. Resonance teaches us that when you send off those waves, when you hit that tuning fork, anything else that's in the same frequency will also start to hum, even though you didn't hit it. It creates resonance. You could do this experiment. Maybe sometimes in your house you notice that there's a certain machine that's on and a certain piece of furniture is vibrating, even though it's far away from the machine. Because that piece of furniture and the frequency of that motor is the same, so it causes it to shake. Sometimes when you're driving in a car, all of a sudden at a certain speed, the ashtray shuts. They don't have ashtrays anymore. But it starts to shake. These are frequencies that when they reach the same frequency, they start to make the same noise. They relate to each other, exactly. So it's almost as if they find their brother, and they start to sing together with it. It's an amazing thing, because I hit this, and that's making noise. How's it making noise? Because it's on the same wavelength. It's on the same frequency. That's called resonance. Maybe once you heard somebody when they come to a class, they say, the rabbi's class resonated with me. Resonated meaning he hit a certain chord inside of me, and therefore it struck a chord, and therefore I could relate to it, as you said. I could connect myself to it. That's what I mean when you say the class resonated. This is the laws of physics. I didn't come to talk about this today, but that's why, for example, it's been proven many times over, identical twins, they feel each other's pain and they feel each other's joy, even though they're on other sides of the world. An identical twin has a certain sense that he knows, God forbid, his brother's in trouble. All of a sudden he'll call his brother, how's everything? So how did you know? I just got into an accident. I felt it. Because they're on the same frequency. So when something happens, when you hit one, the other one starts to shake. He feels it. Identical twins a lot of times resonate. It's important to know this principle. I'll tell you why. I'm searching for the certain frequency that'll bring me to receive the Shekhinah. This is what I want. This is my goal. My goal is to receive the divine presence. So I need to know what frequency God is on. And then I have to hit a similar note on earth. And then it'll cause resonance. And then once the Shekhinah starts to resonate, then I could... It's almost like when you have a radio. You have to find the right station. You have to fine tune. You have to get to the right dial. They don't have dials. I'm in a different generation today. But when you're turning the dial in the olden days, you have to make sure that the line is exactly, it has to be 87.2, it has to be exactly where it is, and all of a sudden it connects. So I'm looking for that station in order that if I can connect to it, it'll create resonance, and then all of a sudden I can connect to it. And specifically to God, because the goal is to bring God into, not the synagogue. The goal is to bring God into our heart, into our life, to bring that we should be a receptacle to receive the Shekhinah. That God should feel comfortable to rest on us and in us. As a matter of fact, when it says they built a Mishkan, it says, Va'asuli Mishkan, or Va'asuli Mikdash, Veshachanti Betocham. It says, you shall make for me a Mishkan, and I will rest in them. It doesn't say, and I will rest in it. The purpose of the Mishkan is to resonate in the hearts of the Jewish people. That's the ultimate goal. Okay, that's the introduction. So you learned a little Zohar, you learned a little physics. And now we begin the parasha. Again, what I believe I'm going to tell you today is an incredible chidush. It's based on a theory that I saw in a Sefer Vatisein Ruach, written by the great Rab Shabbatai Sabato. In this week's parasha, it lists all the Jews that went down to Egypt. Because now this is the parasha we went down to Egypt. Yosef is alive. He sends back to his father a message that he's alive. He tells his father, bring the whole family to Egypt. So the Torah lists all the Jews that went down to Egypt. Today, there's 13 million Jews in the world. In this time in history, you were able to write all the Jews on one page. Every Jew in the world is written on one page. And the Torah spends a lot of ink telling me every single name, and then telling me the numbers of how many Jews went down. This excites me because whenever the Torah spends a lot of ink, that tells me it must be very important, because generally speaking, the Torah is very economical. The Torah doesn't waste a word, and the Torah measures every sentence. Then here, when it comes to list the Jews that went down to Egypt, it's very generous. Now, let me tell you how it's going to learn it. You have to learn how it's going to break it down. Yaakov had four wives. Leah, Rachel, Bilha, Zilpah. So the Torah is going to first tell me how many children did Leah have and how many grandchildren. How many children did Rachel have? How many children did Bilha? And how many children? So it's going to break it down. So it starts with Leah. Ele Shema Bene Israel, Bechor Yaakov Leuven, Bene Leuven, then Shimon, Bene Shimon. Then Levi, Bene Levi, Yisachar, Zebulun, Ele Bene Leah. These are the children of Leah and the grandchildren. Asher Yaldal Yaakov, Kol Nefesh, Banab Ubnotav, if you count all the children and the descendants that came from Leah, Shiloshim Veshalosh, 33. So that says 33, so nobody can even question it. So that's telling you, Shiloshim v'shalosh. That means there's no doubt. Guess what? I had a doubt. Not that I'm questioning the Torah, but I said, let me count. Let me count how many names. So I counted. The first time I counted, I have to be honest with you, I came up with 32. No problem. So I counted again. The second time I counted, also 32. I counted 10 times. And always it came up with 32, and I said it cannot be because the Torah says, Shenushim b'shalosh. So right away, I said this must be the question of the Zohar. That's my first instinct. So I ran to the Zohar Kadosh. I don't say anything in the Zohar Kadosh. I said, it can't be. The Torah says, Shenushim b'shalosh, and it's 32. So as I'm holding my head, my eyes look at Rashi. And I see Rashi asked that question. Shiloshim v'shalosh, Rashi says, u'bifratan, but when you count them individually, i'ata motze ela lamidbet. You only find 32. That's the question. But Torah says 33. Ela zu yochevet, shenolda b'nachomot. Leah had another granddaughter that's not counted. She's counted, but she's not listed. She's called Yocheved. She was born at the border. So really, there was 33. The 32 that were living, plus Yocheved that was born later. So you're right, it's 33, but the Torah only lists the 32 that were living. Very nice. That's Rashi. He gets out of it. It's really 32 plus 1. Hazak Baruch, we continue. Then the Torah tells me, a few pesukim later, Rachel's children. Rachel, we know, had Yosef and Binyamin. He only two. Yosef had two sons, Menashe and Ephraim. And then Binyamin had 10 children. So the Torah tells us that all the children of Rachel, all the children of Rachel, is 14, exactly. Ele b'nei Rachel, asher yulad de Yaakov kol nefesh arba'a asar. Exactly, 14. So you notice something over here. That, again, I wouldn't have made all these details. To me, this is very technical. But the Torah went out of its way to give me the numbers. That's to be a reason. That means the imahot collectively, Leah 32, leave your chivet, because I'm only listing now the ones that were alive over here at the time. It's 32, and Rachel is 14. So that's 46. The number 46 doesn't mean anything. But it's 46. The Imahot brought 46 descendants, or 46 Jews into the world. 32 plus 14. That's the way they did it. And the Torah goes out of the way to list every single one of their names. Now let's go to the Shefachot. The Shefachot, let's start with Zilpah. Zilpah had two sons, Gad and Asher. Ele b'nei Zilpah, shesh esre nafesh. 16. So Zilpah brought 16 descendants into the world. Nothing, doesn't mean anything. The next one is Bilhah. Bilhah had Dan and Naphtali. They had children. So the Pasuk says, Kol Nefesh Shiva'ah. She had seven. Meaning her children and her grandchildren. So the Shefachot had 16 plus 7, which is 23. That's all I need to know. I've now come across a new frequency. When it lists the children of the house of Yaakov, which is the model house, that's the house that built Klal Yisrael, that's the house of all the Shevatim, that's the nucleus of our nation that went down to Egypt. From these people formed the nation. This is the nation that went down to Egypt and came out millions of people. But it's an inception. There's 46 over here, and there's 23 over here. So I create a new frequency, a new radio station, 46.23. Now, I'm not going to go into the fact, which you could do this on your own maybe, if you have time, on a rainy day. The Imahot gave birth to double than the Shefachot. They had 46 while the Shefachot had 23.
which is double.
Which is fine. That's food for thought. It makes sense to me because they're the imahot, they're the primary. So the primary brought double, and the secondary brought one. But for some reason, the Torah goes out of its way to say 46 and 23. This is something that has to be analyzed. Now, where else do we see this frequency? What I mean to say is, when I hit the family of Yaakov, what else is going to vibrate? I want to know what else is on that same wavelength. I want to know what other tuning fork is set to the same frequency, 46.23, as the house of Yaakov. So I turn, not in the book of Bereshit, I turn to the book of Shemot. And I see in the book of Shemot something amazing. In the book of Shemot, Borei Olam tells us, you need to build a Mishkan, a tabernacle. A Mishkan is like a portable shul or a Beit HaMikdash, however you want to say it. It's called the Mishkan. And the Ramban tells me that the purpose of building the Mishkan was to replicate the homes of the Avot. Because just like the Shekhinah rested in the homes of the Avot, specifically Yaakov's house, the Shekhinah was in his house. So in order to replicate the home of Yaakov, God says to build the Mishkan. How do I know that there's a connection between the house of Yaakov and the Mishkan? We have a pasuk in the Torah, we say it at every wedding. Matovu ohalecha Yaakov, mishkenotecha Yisrael. That the Torah clearly tells me that the ohel Yaakov is connected to the Mishkan of Yisrael. That somehow, by building this, you connect to this. And if you connect to this, which is the house of Yaakov, you connect to the Shekhinah. So somehow when they build the Mishkan, they have to build it on the same frequency. So it'll hum. So when you build the Mishkan, you'll hear buzzing from the house of Yaakov, because they're on the same, they resonate. Now let's read the Pesukim. This is stunning. The Pasuk says, first, when you build the Mishkan, you need to build walls. The walls were made up of planks. The planks were called kerashim. The planks were on the north side, the west side, and the south side. How many planks were on the north side? The Torah says, 20 planks. You're building a house, 20 planks, this way. On the south side, 20 planks. Guess how many planks on the west side? 6, you're so smart. That means the foundation of the Mishkan is 46. Now wait. But the Mishkan needs a roof. So the Torah tells us you have to cover the roof of the Mishkan with tapestries. Tapestries is like woven fabric. And there was actually 3 coverings. Of fabric, and then of leather, of animal skins, and then a 3rd covering. And the Torah tells us exactly how many pieces of fabric on each covering. Go slow. Don't jump to conclusions. Veta Mishkan, that's the 1st covering. Ta'aseh esev yidi'ot. It's made up of 10 tapestries. 10, they took 10 pieces, they wove them together, and they covered the top of the, like a roof. That's 10. Then it says, if you made the 1st covering, make a 2nd covering. The 2nd covering is called an ohel. 1st is Mishkan, the 2nd is called ohel. How much is the ohel? Ashter Esre. Ashter Esre, 11. 11 pieces. And then it says, make a 3rd covering. Ve'asita Mikseh, it's called the Mikseh. Mishkan, ohel Mikseh. How many? Orot Elim, Umikseh Orot Tehashim, which is 2. So altogether, the top of the Mishkan was covered with exactly 23 pieces. And all of a sudden, to our amazement, we see again the magical number of 46.23. And therefore we see something amazing, that the Mishkan itself and Yaakov Avinu's house is on the same frequency. That when you hit this, it resonates the house of Yaakov. It's connected somehow. Now I want to stop there for a second. What I'm telling you now, put it in parentheses. Because I know some of you are going to go back to the Pesukim and learn it. And you're going to ask me this question. So I'm going to ask it myself. So you don't think that, God forbid, I'm holding back information from you. If you look at the Pesukim, it lists amongst all the people that went down to Egypt, it lists two people, Er and Onan. It lists them as one of the people, the two of the people. Only problem is, Er ve'Onan died. They died. But they're listed. So how could they be listed if they're dead? It's a big question. That's not my question, it's not your question, it's the Ramban's question. The Ramban basically says a chidush. That although Er ve'Onan were dead and they didn't go down, but their neshamot went into their brothers that were born after them. The brothers that were born after them were called Peretz and Zerach. So when Peretz and Zerach went down, inside of them was Er and Onan. So you don't count Er and Onan because they weren't visible. They were invisible, but they were there. So far so good? So I'm asking, if you tell me that the Mishkan is built against the house of Yaakov, so where is Er ve'Onan in this Mishkan? So I'm going to tell you something amazing. I'm going to give you a model now, just so you know how to build. Maybe you ladies ever saw your husbands or your children build a sukkah. You have a wall over here, and you have a wall over here. You need something to connect the corner. So you have to put a corner piece. How are you going to connect the northern wall with the western wall? There's a corner here. It doesn't connect. So you need to put a piece. So in the Mishkan, the Torah clearly says that when you built the Mishkan, you needed to put a corner piece here. And you needed to put a corner piece on this side. But the Torah clearly says, you only saw the corner piece from the outside, but when you're standing inside, you don't see it. And therefore, there are two pieces of the Mishkan that were there, but were not seen. Very good. Erbe Onan. So, Erbe Onan, but I didn't come to tell you that. That's just a, consider that a bonus. So you see, look at the detail. Not only is the Mishkan built 46.23, exactly like the setup of the house of Yaakov Avinu, but it even has the secret of Er ve'Onan. Now, let's go further. I want to read you a Pasuk in Perech Chavav, Pasuk Lamedzayim. It says, at the entrance of the Mishkan, Va'asita la'masach, that's the entrance, Hamisha amudei shitim, you had to put five columns at the entrance. I always understood decorative. When we build homes, we build columns all over the place to make it nice. But if I would ask you, why did they pick five columns? Don't tell me Hamisha amudei Torah. Don't say Hamisha amudei Torah. That's a kindergarten answer. The real answer of five is because since we're replicating the home of Yaakov, it's Yaakov and the four wives. Wow. And therefore at the front of the Mishkan, you have the five Amudim, as if they're telling you, welcome, you're now entering the home of Yaakov Avinu, 46 by 23, exactly the same ratio of how his children were born, imahot to shefachot. But wait, the main question you don't ask. You say, hold it, Rabbi. Maybe some of you were never in a desert before. I was in the deserts, in Morocco and in the Middle East. There's nothing in the desert. So where did they get the wood to build the Mishkan if they were in the desert? There's no trees in the desert. There's no trees. How could they build the Mishkan? There's no trees. It's not a forest. Oh, so you know everything. You know everything. Okay, ladies. It was a rhetorical question. I know the answer. It's in a midrash. But to me, this midrash is very important. The midrash says, in Parashat Terumah, U'me'echan ayu akirashim. Then the question, where did they get the wood? So it says, Yaakov Abinu nata'otam b'sha'a shi'arad l'mitzrayim. Yaakov Abinu planted them in Egypt. And the Midrash tells the story. Amar lebanav, he told his sons, Banai, atidim atem lehiga'el mikan. One day you're going to be redeemed from this place. Vakadosh Baruch Hu atid lomar lachem mishatem nigalim. And once you're going to be redeemed, God Almighty is going to come to you and He's going to tell you to ta'asu lo ta mishkan. He's going to ask you to build the mishkan. Ela imdu v'nit'u arazim me'achav. So He told His children, go plant cedar wood. Shebishaash yomar lachem. So when God gives you the green light to build the mishkan, you'll have it. You arazim betukanim miyad. Amdu v'nat'u. So who built the place of the Mishkan? Yaakov's children. Because it makes sense to me. Because since the whole Mishkan corresponds the family of Yaakov, so not only is it built 46.23, not only is it built with five Amudim Keneged, Yaakov and his four wives, not only is it built that way, but it has to be built by them. Because they have to build it according to the same frequency. But this is not what I came to tell you today. Because this doesn't mean anything to me. The 46.23 doesn't mean anything. Because my original question in this shiur was, I want to bring the Shekhinah down to me. So I have to figure if I'm on that same frequency. You see, because if I can get to the frequency of 46.23 myself, then all of a sudden I can connect to the Mishkan, and the Mishkan connects me to the family of Yaakov, and Shekhinah comes right into me. Now we go back to science. In every human being, we have at least running through our body 100 trillion cells. I counted them before I came. I'm just joking. But there's 100 trillion cells. There's 100 trillion cells in a body. That's what the science does. 100 trillion. There's two types of cells in the body. There's the regular cells, and then there's what's called reproductive cells. That's the cells that reproduce new human beings. All science agrees that the cell is the protoplasm of life. All life is in the cell. And the cell, when put under a microscope, is made up of strands that are called DNA. And in the DNA is the chromosomes, which is the secret of life. Take a guess. How many chromosomes are in every single cell? There are 46 chromosomes in every cell. Except the reproductive cells that have 23. Because they male meets with female, and the 23 becomes a 46. So every human being has the frequency of 46.23. Which is very, very significant to me. I'll just give you an example. A man, before he has a child, is called Ish. After he has a child, what do we call him? Abba, daddy. Okay, daddy. In Hebrew. No, you do fine. I also call my father daddy. But Abba, we say in Hebrew. And a lady, before she has a child, she's called Isha. After she has a child, she's called Ima. You think it's a coincidence that the father's called Abba and the mother's called Ima? Abba is Aleph, Bet, Aleph. That's four. Ima is Aleph, Mem, Aleph. That's 42. Together it's 46. Because the mother gives 23 chromosomes, and the father gives 23 chromosomes, and altogether you have the 46, which makes the human being. So therefore you see over here, first of all, I'll prove it to you now from the Torah, that the Torah was well aware, I have to prove to you, Hashem made the world, so Hashem of course knows how many chromosomes there are. That, to us, we don't get excited from that. I have to prove it to you, of course Hashem knows how many chromosomes, Hashem knows everything. But I'm going to show you that the Torah is the blueprint. Because if you look at the beginning of Parashat Bereshit, this is the first time that Adam HaRishon is given his wife. By the way, it's the first time that anybody was given a lady. It's the first time. When God presents Hava to Adam, it's the first time that this ever happened in history, that a man meets a wife, a man meets a lady. The pasuk seems very simple. Ve'yiven Hashem Elohim et ha'sela asher lakach min ha'adam le'isha. Borei Olam fashioned the rib that he took from Adam, and he made it isha, made it Chava. Ve'yivieha ila Adam. Ve'yivieha ila Adam. And he took this isha and he gave it to Adam, and all of a sudden they became one. I looked at this pasuk, and to my amazement, I started counting the letters. How many letters are in this pasuk? The first pasuk in history that talks about the combining of a man and a woman. I'm going to count this for you quickly. Vayivim is four letters. Hashem is four letters. That's eight. Elohim is five letters. That's 13. Et. That's another two letters. So that is 50. Four. Eight. 13, 15, exactly. Hasela is another 4. That's 19. Asher lakah is another 6. That's 25. Min ha'adam, that's another 5. So that's 31. Le'isha is another 4, so that's 35. Vaybi'eha, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That's 40. El is 42. Ha'adam is another 4, 46. A coincidence that the first time a man and a lady are put together, the Torah writes it in 46 letters, in order to hint to us, the 23 chromosomes and the 23 chromosomes that creates 46, and this is the only way it can become 46, and then as a result of this, every human being subsequently will have cells inside of him that are made up of Abba and Ima, of both. That's the 46. Abba Ima is 46. That's all the cells, except the reproductive ones that allows him to become a mother and a father. That allows him to become. So those are the ones. And therefore we found the big secret today, Rabotai. We found the secret that there are three things in the world that are on the same wavelength. The family of Yaakov is 46.3. 46.23. The Mishkan is 46.23. And the human being, Hashem created us also with that same frequency, which means to me
that if somehow you're able to bang on yourself to make yourself vibrate, all of a sudden it'll create resonance on the other two items. Because today we cannot bang on the Mishkan, it's not here, and we cannot bang on the family of Yaakov, it's not here. The only thing we have left is us. But once we already figure out a way how to shake the 46.23, it'll start to create a ripple effect, and all of a sudden, humming, you'll start to hear the furniture shaking. You'll start to hear the other strings starting to make noise, and then you're connected. And once you're connected to it, you're able to bring the electricity down to you. You're able to bring the Shekhinah down to you. That means today, you can connect to the Mishkan. It's possible that you could connect to the family of Yaakov. Now the question is, how do you do that? Now that I know I'm equal to it, I'm on the same bandwidth, I'm on the same level, how do I connect to it? David HaMelech, by the way, said, this is a bonus what I'm telling you, David HaMelech said, Zimirot hayuli hokecha. He said, your mitzvot were like music to me. Zimirot hayuli hokecha. I'm asking, David, what did you mean? Your mitzvot are like music? I'll tell you how I always learned before this class. Before this class, I always learned music a person can listen to over and over again. We love to listen to the same songs. Songs that we love. On the contrary, we love the old songs that we know more than a new song. A new song we don't know yet, so we don't enjoy it as much. But an old song that we heard many times, we can hear it over and over again. And we never get bored of it. So David HaMelech was saying, your mitzvot are like music. I never get tired of it. No matter how many times I do the mitzvot over and over again, they're still new to me. They're still exciting. That's the way I learned the pasuk yesterday. But today I learned it much deeper. David HaMelech was giving a big secret. Once you learn the secret of resonance in music, then you apply it to mitzvot. When a person does a mitzvah, that already causes the body to start to shake, and that already starts to create resonance to the Mishkan and to the family of Yaakov. Zimirot hayuli hokecha. The same principle of resonance that you learn in music and in sound, that's the mitzvot. The mitzvot themselves, and that's why the Torah says, by the way, that's why the Torah says, Ve'ahavtat Hashem Elohecha. You have to love God. How do you love God? By doing the mitzvot. It says, Bechol levavecha v'chol nafshecha. You have to do the mitzvot with all of your body. Because what happens? When you're doing a mitzvah, that's when the body starts to vibrate. You're doing a mitzvah, your body's involved in the mitzvah, all of your cells of all the body from the top to the bottom are involved. And therefore at that point over there, you're connecting to the 46.23 frequency, because your body is involved in the mitzvah, Zimirot Hayuli Hokecha, and now all of a sudden, you arouse the Kiddushav, the Mishkan. That's why it says, Ve'asuni Mikdash V'shechanti Betocham. The Mishkan's goal is to bring the Shekhinah to you. By you doing mitzvot, you connect to this building, and that building connects you to Yaakov Avinu's family, and all of a sudden, you have a great amount of holiness that comes inside of the person. That's why, by the way, now you know why it's a mitzvah, it's a bigger mitzvah to do the mitzvah yourself. It's easy, I can do a mitzvah, I can delegate. Do me a favor, go do the mitzvah for me. Be my shaliach. But the Gemara says, mitzvah bo, yotem bishlucho. Because when you're doing the mitzvah itself, you're creating the movement in your body yourself, that activates a higher level. It's more amplified. It's louder sound. And therefore it causes the result to become much more amplified. Now let's go slow. If this is true what I'm telling you, I go to Parashat I go to Parashat Vayetze. In Parashat Vayetze, it tells me when the Imahot had their children. It tells me the names of their children. And then it tells me why they named them, what they named them. No problem. So one of the children, it says over here, it's Leah's child. The Pasuk says, and I quote, Batahar Od. She had another baby. Batomer, she said, Atah Pa'am, this time, Yilave Ishi Elai. My husband will be with me. My husband will come closer to me. She felt all of a sudden, Leah, that Yaakov Avinu is going to be attracted. Atah, now, after I had this child, Yilave Ishi. My husband will be attached to me. And therefore, what does she name the child?
Levi.
What in the world has to do anything? What is the connection between that my husband will be attached to me? So she names the child Levi. What happens when a husband is attached to his wife? 23 chromosomes or 23 chromosomes. That's 46. So she names the child Levi. Lamed Vav Yud is 46. That's why she says, now that my husband will attach to me, therefore I call him Levi. So they all knew the secret of DNA and chromosomes. They knew this as a matter of fact. But now I have a bigger hadush. In the Mishkan, who is the leader of the Mishkan? The Kohen Gadol. You know how you write Kohen Gadol in abbreviation? Chav Gimel. Always in the Gemara says, Chav Gimel. Chav Gimel is Kohen Gadol. And who else works in the Mishkan? Which other tribe? Levi. So you see, in the Mishkan itself, Levi is 46 and Kohen Gadol is Chav Gimel. So the workers in the Mishkan is also 46.23. So you see this number all of a sudden that meant nothing to us in the beginning of the Shi'ur. All of a sudden you see how important it is. Now the only thing that we didn't answer, which needs to be answered, because some of you are thinking he's always pushing your chevet away. He doesn't want to talk about your chevet. He says your chevet was born at the borders. He was born in between the countries. Okay, but where is she in the Mishkan? She has to be in the Mishkan. She was part of the family. You told me the five pillars. You told me the 46 poles. You told me the 23 coverings. You even told me Erve Onan. They were there, but they weren't seen. And now Yochevet, leave Yochevet. No, I don't want to leave Yochevet. In the Mishkan, if you get to the end of the Mishkan, all the way to the west, it's called the Kodesh Kodashim. It's the holiest spot in the world, as a matter of fact. Right in front of the Kodesh Kodashim, if you go a little east, is the Kodesh. It's also holy, but it's not as holy as the Kodesh Kodashim. You needed to separate between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So they had another curtain. That curtain was called the Parochet. It separated. It separates between the two. It's possible that curtain, all the other curtains were on top. But the last curtain separated ben hachomot. It's between the two places. That's keneged Yocheved that was born at the border, ben hachomot. So Borei Olam put another curtain over there that's on the borderline between the two countries, between the Kodesh and the Kodesh Kodashim. So don't worry, don't be nervous. Yocheved is there also. The lesson to me is from this over here, that it's very possible that a Kadosh Baruch Hu created us with such cells. Now the biologist in Harvard, he'll agree to the biology part of the class. He'll never be able to understand. He'll agree to resonance. To the physics, he has to agree. He cannot disagree. What he won't agree to is how this is connected to the Mishkan, and the Mishkan is connected to Yaakov. That's where you need the Hachamim to come. Because just to teach me biology, 46 chromosomes, 23 reproductive, shtuyot, habalim, who cares? Who cares? What does it do for me? But once you realize that this biology is connected to a spiritual instrument, and by connecting to that spiritual instrument, you're able to actually connect to God. And therefore, obviously, it's much greater. Now, I will just finish, just to show you that the secret of the human cell of 46 chromosomes, and of course the 23, which we know, I have a lot to say on this, but I cannot say everything. Let this be just the last point, and then we'll call it a day. God's holiest name is Yud-Kei-Vav, as you know. But the holiest of the holiest names of God is the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, when it's spelled in a way, and I'll show you how to spell it, that equals 72. Very simple. Don't get nervous. Take the letter Yud. Yud-Vav-Dalet, Yud. Yud-Vav-Dalet is 20. You see how from one letter we made 20? The He, we're going to spell it He Yud. We can spell it any way we want. Today we're going to spell it He Yud. He Yud is 15. So that's 35. The Vav, I'm going to spell it today Vav Yud Vav. That's where the Zohar says I can spell it. Vav Yud Vav. Vav Vav is 12 and Yud is 10. So that's 22. So I have 35 and 22. 57. And then the last Hey of Hashem's name is Hey Yud. 15. 57 and 15 equals 72. Finished. Now you learned the holiest name of God. It's the Yud Ke Vav Ke opened up to spell 72. There's no holier name than that. That's called the Shem Ayin Bet. That's the highest level. The greatest level of Beracha comes from the Shem Ayin Bet. Now go slow. The goal is to attach to that. The goal is to attach to that name. What's the letters that you see of the name? The revealed letters. The Yud, the He, the Vav, and the He. How much do the revealed letters equal? 26. How much do the concealed letters equal that you don't see? Well, I have to get to 72. So if 26 is revealed, the hidden letters are 46. That means the inner letters, the Vav Dalet, the Yud Vav, the Yud, the inner letters of the Shem Ayin Bet is Mem Vav. Why? Because the Torah is hinting to you that this Mem Vav, which is the nucleus of a human being, every cell of a human being, is 46. That it's possible that with your human body and your physical being, by doing mitzvot, you shake, make a noise, you could connect to the Yud Kei Vav, you connect to God. And that's why God is called Ehad. We know God is called Ehad. God is called one. In the book of Bereshit, we read about Yaakov's family. In the book of Shemot, we read about the Mishkan. I told you today they're connected. And I told you today you're connected to all three. And you can connect to God. Because in God is also the 46, which is our makeup. And the magic number 46.23. So I went on the computer and I did an experiment. I took the whole Bereshit, Sefer Bereshit, and I typed in the word Ehad. How many times in Bereshit does it say the word Ehad? And to my shock, 23 times Ehad. And then I went to Sefer Shemot, and I typed in Sefer Shemot the word Ehad. How many times in Sefer Shemot? 23 times. That means altogether, Bereshit and Shemot, there's 46 times Ehad. which represents God's Echad is 46, in the two books that talk about this formula, and the human being has the same calculation, 46.23, in the Mishkan that the Levi and the Kohen Gadol worked, that also had that number, and therefore we must give ourselves a lot of credit. If a person takes a tuning fork that's a C note, and next to it he takes a tuning fork that's a D note, and he strikes the C note, he will hear no noise from the D. They're on a different frequency. If a person does not feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if a person is not feeling uplifted, he doesn't feel the Shekhinah, it's not that God's on the wrong frequency. God's frequency, He doesn't change. Lo yahalif ha'el velo yamir. His frequency is constant. It's perfect tone. It must be that we're on a different frequency. Once already we go lower into olam hazeh, so we're on a lower frequency, it cannot resonate, and therefore we don't feel it. And the only way to reach perfect frequency is like David HaMelech said, Zemirot Hayuli Hokecha, to the observance of the mitzvot. Then already we start to play the same music as is played in the Mishkan, as was played in Yaakov Avinu's house, and is in the Holy Shekhinah Echad. We cannot minimize the genius of our Torah, how HaKadosh Baruch Hu created such a perfect human being based on all these pesukim. Let this be a lesson. When you read these pesukim early about the children of Yaakov and 46 of these, and 27, who cares? Who cares? Always, if the Torah is writing it, there must be a reason, and you must not discount any pasuk. You must always say, if this is being written, Hashem must have had to tell me a lesson. And I pray that Be'azat Hashem, not only that this class should resonate with you, but my real prayer is that you should resonate with God, that by the observance of your great mitzvot, you'll connect to that dial, to that number on the radio station, 46.23, and all of a sudden, you'll start to hear a lot of humming. The humming of the Mishkan, Matovu Ohalecha Yaakov, the greatness of the oil Yaakov, is Mishkenotecha Yisrael, and that's the secret of the human self. Baruch Adonai Olam.